Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
We live off of the word of what we hear from pulpits or preachers or messages in songs. There's so few people that take the initiative and have the hunger and desire to really get into the word and not just read the surface words, what it says, but really study it.
The anointed preaching of the word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Well, God bless you. If you're listening to Truth Infusion right now, I'm excited that you're with me. And the opportunity to come and meet you wherever you are in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and bring to you a word that my prayer is that the next few minutes, the next 30 minutes, will be the most anointed 30 minutes on the radio. And that is important to me. We need the anointing on whatever we do. There's an issue in the church that I'm becoming more and more aware of as God is making me more sensitive to this need, as I'm seeing it both in my life and in the life of many people that I love so much, churches that I'm visiting and I speak and minister in, preach in, lead worship in. I'm seeing that there is a vast disparaging difference between two big groups that represent some of our church people. Let me kind of explain this a little bit. We have those that are in the church that are saved. So let's don't discuss those that don't know the Lord. I'm talking about the Christians, the believers, the called ones, the ones that have accepted this justification from our Lord Jesus Christ that God's given. And you know you're on the team. You are in the kingdom. You are child of the Most High. In that group of you peculiar people, the Word calls you. There are two categories that I want to point out right now. You fall into one of these two. I fall into one of these two. One of the categories overwhelmingly has the numbers, the vast majority. And there's no way I can statistically give you some hard facts, but I'm going to guess that the numbers would reach, in this group, probably 95%, maybe more. This large group of 95% or more of the saved in the church, and again, that's my figures based on what I see. You love the Lord, you are saved, you know that, but you live a life of defeat. And this is very difficult because we look at what the Bible says, what we hear Sundays and Wednesdays from our preachers and teachers, what we read ourselves. We see the things that the Bible tells us about what we are. And I don't doubt that the Bible says these things and that it's true. Jesus said that I've come to give you life more abundant. So the Word says we should be living an abundant life. Paul made a statement. He said that we are more than conquerors. Now, a conqueror is someone who wins the day. To be more than a conqueror, I think, points to the fact that you are the winner, you are the victor before the battle even begins. You are guaranteed victory. And the Word says that about you and about me. I know I'm saved. So I can claim that promise for my own. In Peter, we read that we are a chosen people. And who chose you? The Lord God, the creator of the universe, chose you out. You are selected. Peter also goes on in that verse to say, we are a royal priesthood. What an amazing label and title that is. Now, what about in Romans chapter 8, where we're told that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself? What an amazing way to be described in the holy word of God. The truth from God says these remarkable things about you and I. Now, these verses, even though I know they're true, and you know they're true because you've heard them, you've heard sermons about them, you've read them yourselves, the problem that I see in the eyes of so many Christians, and I've been there myself, so let's just be real today, is that we know this stuff in our head, but in our heart, the reality of our life is something different. We see what the Bible says about us. We look at how life plays itself out, and we say, what's wrong with me? What's the matter with me? Because the truth is, truth seeker, that most of us, and like I said a second ago, 90, 95%, most of us fit into this category, and what we live is not what we read in the Word, because what we live is what a good friend of mine calls the broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, we live with the world on top of us instead of living on top of the world as the Bible says that we should be living. We feel like, I don't know how many times I've heard this, that life somehow seems in some ways easier before I even came to the Lord. I came to God, some might say. I've had this, you know, there's been men of God that I have met and ministered to in prisons. In prison ministry, as I've been able to reach out to these guys. And I don't want you, if you're listening right now, to think, it's a mistake to think that you go into a prison to minister and that all you're going to do is try to bless some of these people that are so far gone, and maybe somebody will see the light, and you're the holy one in the room, and they need what you've got. The truth is this. The mix of people in that prison sanctuary isn't so very different than the mix of people you have in any church congregation on any given Sunday. And I've gone into many, countless prison services and been ministered to a whole lot more than I dished it out, if you hear me. I've learned a whole lot from the gentleman that I was supposed to be ministering to in prison. I learned how to worship in prison services. So I am blessed by that, but I don't know how many times I've heard, and I specifically think of a couple of guys in prison services, and they say, David, my life was easier when I was in the world before I came to God, when I was living like the devil. Life seemed to come easier to me then than it does now, when I've given my life to God, and I desire to please Him and live for Him. And you don't have to be imprisoned. I mean, my goodness, I see that in the eyes of so many faithful churchgoers. They're there on Sundays. They're sitting in their pew. And they're trying to do the good and spiritual things, the activities that we know we're supposed to do as Christians. But they're living a life of defeat. They're struggling. You're hurting. You're confused as to why it doesn't seem to work for you. And Satan is whispering in your ear things like, are you even saved? Do you really think God would forgive a person like you? if this was real, would you be struggling as often as you are? You're no good. You're no good. So many Christians hurt and struggle through life. And I want you to know something. You are not alone. You came to God a slave of sin, a slave to the law, Paul teaches us. And your ownership traded hands at the cross of Calvary. As God the Father became your slave, but make no bones about it. You're still dependent and you're still a slave. But you came thinking you would be set free. And you were. You were. But you're asking yourself, why is it then that I feel so burdened, so beat down, so enslaved? Well, I want you to know that there are many, many a case in the Word of God of godly men and women who felt and dealt with the same kind of struggle. The great apostle Paul was one of them. I hope you're familiar enough with his writings to know that even though he probably did more for the church than any other human other than Jesus Christ, his teaching, he was given the gospel of grace. The new covenant understanding came to Paul. Paul is the one that really diffused it to the first century church world. I'm not demeaning what Peter and James and John did. They were men of God, great and powerful apostles, fathers and cornerstones of the faith. But it was Paul that received the explanation of how the cross of Jesus Christ equates to Christian living and what we do in response to that and how we must live. He was the one that was shown by the Holy Spirit, and he was the one that began to diffuse the gospel of grace. He planted church after church. He wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, the resume for this man, Paul, is outstanding. It's really, like I said, apart from Jesus Christ, it's unmatchable as far as I know. I can't think of probably any more amazing example of Christianity than Paul. However, he's the same man that wrote the 7th chapter of Romans. The 7th chapter of Romans. And if you are struggling with your walk, if you're struggling with your position as far as you see it in Christ right now, if life is just beating you up, turning you around, and you really don't know where you stand, you're not alone. You are not alone. I know that I'm speaking to many, many people, and I'm speaking to you at the place where you are right now. Because we have life. You know what? Life is just life. And life comes against us sometimes in ways that you never saw coming, and it is not your fault. There's a lot of things in life that you have no control over. And life throws us curveballs, hits us sometimes in the gut so hard it takes away our breath. And that happens to believers and non-believers alike. So we've got life going against us. We've got an enemy that we never give enough credit to. Extremely powerful, extremely able and capable, extremely divisive, manipulative, smart, crafty, powerful. And his desire is not to make you uncomfortable. It's to destroy you in such a way that you can't get back up off the ground. But not just that, but to do it in such a way that it breaks down the Christian integrity of the church itself, and it injures Christians alike. You see, we don't have an enemy that's just after making you feel bad about yourself. He wants to cause as much collateral damage as possible. So we've got life against us. We've got an enemy that hates us. And we've got a sin nature within us that may be our greatest enemy. In fact, let me restate that. Our sin nature is our greatest enemy. We have little to no understanding about what that even is. How to live a life to keep it pushed away and put into the lockbox that Christ built for it on the cross. Paul, though, wants you to know you are not alone. I want you to know. David wants you to know. If this is you, you are not alone. I want to open up the 7th chapter of Romans, and I want to get into some scripture that's going to show you firsthand what your struggle is all about. And so we're going to get into Romans chapter 7. You know, when I started recording this show today, this is not even what I had determined to teach on and speak on today. In fact, even as I began recording, I had other notes up, I had other outlines up, other things I wanted to talk to you about. I began speaking and this just started coming out. My heart is really broken for the church people, the family members that are living a life where they are spiritually confused. You know who you are in Christ because the Bible says a lot of amazing things about you and I. But when you stop to look at the way you live and the way you feel and the way life seems to keep a stranglehold on you, and you see this vast difference between what the Bible says and what you experience, what the Bible says and what you experience, and you think, what is the matter here? It can't be the Word of God. There must be something wrong with me. That is so huge. I said in the first half, I think that covers, you know, 90-95% of our church. And the reason that it does is, there's multiple reasons, but here's number one as far as I can tell. The freedom that we desire comes from one source, and we receive it through two channels. Number one, through the Word and our understanding. And the truth is that the church today is just basically, we live off of the word of what we hear from pulpits or preachers or messages in songs or some little daily devotional we may read. There's so few people that take the initiative and have the hunger and desire to really get into the Word and not just read the surface words, what it says, give your 10, 15 minutes of Bible reading every other day, but really study it. Dig into it. You know, it's amazing. When we get an interest in a hobby or some kind of extracurricular activity or, you know, our favorite TV show, or we get interested in some movie that's coming out, or how a new software of our computer program works, or we get our new phone, or our new car, we will spend so much time, won't we, studying, looking this, research that, how does this work, try this, play with that, ask somebody about this, get some teaching on how to do this part. We will go out of our way to learn about this. But when it comes to the Word of God, God's Word. I mean, don't let that become such like a broken record in your ears that you miss what that says. God, the Creator, the one who spoke in this world, everything you see is because He is. The fact that you're alive is because He gave you life. The God wrote a letter to you. His desires, His will, explaining to you who He is, how He works, what He wants for you, how to get what you want and need. That book is not just some antiquated book of that some guys wrote down some stuff and it was some good stuff to live by. It's the Word of God. And we gloss over it like it's just some kind of coffee table decoration. And we're good people if we have more than one translation of it in our home. We've got to get back to the Bible and not just read surface words, but meditate on it, study it, dig into it, try to hear what the God of the universe is saying to you. We've got to get back to the Word. We've got to be infused by the truth. The second thing is, we've got to learn how to live by the Holy Spirit. We don't even know what that means in today's church. But He is God on earth. He is God in your life. You've got to learn how to live in such a way that He can bless you. And I don't have time to do that today. We've been learning and teaching about the Holy Spirit, and it's not just extracurricular topic. It's life. It is victorious life. But I know where you're at. And I want you to know you're not alone. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "I do not understand what I do." Now, do you hear this? This is Paul. "I do not understand." He looks at life the way some of us do, at what we experience versus what we know from the Word, and we just don't understand. This is not what it's supposed to be. Something is amiss. I don't understand this. I don't understand why I keep falling to sin. I don't understand why I keep slipping in the same areas. Why can't I get past this? I don't understand what I do. Listen to what he says. "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." You know what Paul, he goes on to say, you need to read the last half, verses 15 on through 24, Romans chapter 7. Paul goes on to say, "I love God. I love His ways. I love His law. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. But there's something else inside me that keeps overriding what I want. There's something inside me that is overwhelming my desire to be pleasing to God. I want it." And that's what I know you know. You don't want to struggle in life. You don't want to live in such a way that you disappoint yourself, and more importantly, you disappoint the one that gave His life for you. You don't want it. But you don't know what else to do. Verse 18, Romans chapter 7. "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." Paul hits on something right here that is a lost understanding in our church today. The sin nature is the source of the rebellion, the struggle. It is the other master. Galatians chapter 5, Paul bears it out. The divine nature lives in you if you're saved, but the sin nature is not gone. We died to the sin nature, Romans chapter 6. But the sin nature did not die in us. It still remains. And if we should so choose to go back to living in such a way that we give life back to the sin nature, that happens. And when that does, we find ourselves locked down by our sin nature the same way we were before we came to the Lord. The only difference before then and now is we have the choice. Do I choose to walk in the sin nature, or do I choose to walk in grace and in the Spirit? But we don't teach that anymore. So few pastors and teachers go through Romans chapter 6 and study it and then teach it to their congregation so they understand what the enemy within is all about. The Satan is our enemy without. Our enemy within is the sin nature that still dwells there, and if you give it place, will overrun your life. And this was Paul is saying right here in Romans chapter 7. He had gotten to a place where the sin nature was overwhelming him again. He said, "It's my sin nature." He goes on in verse 18, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." Verse 20, "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I that do it. It's the sin nature living in me that does it." Now Paul isn't passing the buck, but here's what he's saying. I don't desire to be this way. My desire is to live a holy life, but that's not happening. So something is overrunning my desire, and I don't understand what's going on. That's why he said in verse 15, "I don't understand this." He's just pointing out the problem. I desire to be different. I want it. My heart is to be after the Lord, but I keep finding myself in other places. So what does he say at the end of verse 20? It's the sin nature living in me that is winning. And I want you to hear this. If this is how it was for Paul, the gospel writer, I mean, if Paul struggled this way before he received understanding and how to live for the Lord, you know what? You and I are going to struggle this way until we figure out the same things Paul did. The only difference is Paul didn't have the Bible before him and a lot of great teaching resources around him and people to talk to that have walked the road. He was the first one, okay? He had to figure out this with just the Holy Spirit teaching him. We've got so many different resources. Let's look at Paul. Am I running out of time? Verse 24, he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me or deliver me from this body of death?" That word wretched doesn't just mean evil, although the sin nature is evil. It's the word that translates into the English callous, calluses. What is a callus? It is a skin condition that arises from continued repeating hard work. Paul's saying, I'm working real hard at this. I'm not gaining any ground. I keep losing. I need help. Rescue me from this hard labor that is not working. There is an answer, my friend. There is an answer. I want you to come back next week because I kind of presented the problem this week. Next week, I want to start giving you the answer. How do you live for God? How do you live victoriously for God? God, help them to see your face this week. Help them to hear your words. Comfort them, Lord. And God, if it's your will, bring them back so that we can learn more about you next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Till next time, friends, truth seekers, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.